shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. World famous Phil Hendry Show, Truth is Our Bitch. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and we're back here with you. And have you had a good evening? I don't know what anything heavy happened other than the ongoing story there in Cleveland. How's your life? How's your wife? How are the kids? We're having, as you know, a transitional period here. Now it's all out in the open. It's all just if our radio show was if our radio show was a perverted man, we have already thrown open our overcoat and we're not wearing anything. Bud, hit it.
Yay.
Cut. All right.
Well, that's a wonderful way to why would you characterize your program that way?
It's just a joke, Margaret, you know.
Yeah. Don't start. Don't let him start.
Bud, shut up.
Because I get to say what I want to say, and, you know.
Yeah?
We're being quiet. If you want to say anything, go ahead.
No, I don't have anything more to say, but when I say something...
Where...
Do you mind?
Well, Margaret...
Do you mind? Thank you. Now, I'd like to say I don't have anything to say, but I wanted to just shut everyone's mouth so that I could say I have the right to say things.
That's stupid.
What did I just...
Hey, watch it!
One of these days you're not going to be here to hold me back.
Every single show. I feel like my parents used to talk this way. They'd say, every time we get in the car.
Well, I'm not a child.
Yeah, well, then...
Are you going to spit it out there, Gumby, or what?
Don't act like a children.
Don't act like a children.
Woo-hoo! Woo!
This is going to be a great show.
All right, just let's just... I have given up trying to control the situation to any great degree, but what I am asking is, can we get along here? As Rodney King said, can, we all just get along? He said, along.
Yeah, you making it dirty, man. That was a very good sentiment of his.
I know it was. A very nice sentiment of Rodney King. God rest his soul, and forevermore. Welcome to the show here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. There are some things to talk about, but we want to get out of the way much of the business that has been occurring here over the last 24 to 48 to 72 to 96 hours. And that is that we made the announcement. We are moving on from Talk Radio Network. We are now engaged in the very specific and extremely secretive business of talking to peoples in the business kind of thing.
And you are not at liberty to say who.
I will not say who. I will not do that at this particular time.
Do you promise me the exclusive?
I cannot do that.
Do you feel bad when I ask you to drop and rot? I'm sorry, Phil. That's not the answer I wanted.
Well, I'll guarantee you this, Margaret. Yes, we'll talk about it. You'll get the exclusive interview as we talk about it on the air.
No. Hold on, sunshine. When you talk about it on the air, every swing and you know what gets it. I'm talking about the press.
All right. I'll give you an interview before we go on the air.
Exclusive?
Yes.
I should feel good, but that really... So what?
Yeah, big deal.
Big news there. Phil Hendry is going to whatever.
Okay, well, you asked me, so I'm telling you.
No, I do appreciate it, Phil.
God. All right, so in any event, yes, we are engaged in, and there's a lot of things. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a multi-platform world. Now, what does that mean? Well.
What does it mean?
I'm going to tell you what it means.
Yeah, but what is it, when you say money platform?
It's not Monty Platform.
That was their comedy group.
Yes, that's the comedy group.
Monty Platform? Monty Python. What I'm talking about is multi-platform, not Monty.
Oh.
And multi-platform is radio, it's video, it's digital, it's your mama, it's your sister, it's movies, it's films, it's the space program. By God, if we could, we'd branch out into taking payloads into outer space. We'd do a radio show, we'd do a comedy tour, and oh yeah, we would land people on Venus. I mean, that's where it's at. So we are looking to partner with people that do that kind of thing, you know. And in the modern broadcast world, there's lots of them. And there's an awful lot of entrepreneurial types. There's also very established people, and there are, as everybody in between. as we look to take advantage of the technology, because you have the ability right now to do a video cast, a webcast, internet radio, real radio, terrestrial, satellite. Let's not forget about that. And then, of course, what you do is you incorporate all of that into a promotional platform. If you're out doing any live things like comedy, which we're going to do a one-man show, television appearances, film appearances, and so on. And that's how you wrap that thing together in one big bright bow, and you are no longer at the mercy of the ever-changing fortunes of business. You've got a little more control over it. So this is really exciting. It's a lot of fun. We've got an awful lot of really good news. And for all the people that have asked me, okay, Phil, so what does this mean? I will tell you, there's nothing but good news. And if we were cows, it would be good moos. good news all the way around. So I would be, I'm happy to be able to tell you that. Our Saturday night movie is coming back, and I think, did you already figure out one, Robert?
Yeah, we got a Saturday night movie that's going to come is the Cabinet of the Calgary.
Yeah, that's it, Cabinet of Calgary.
What's the Cabinet of Calgary?
The Cabinet of what?
Of Calgary, Canada, I guess.
It's going to be the Cabinet of Calgary.
Well, what is that?
I don't know, it's about cabinets in Calgary. Calgary. Is it Calgary?
No, it says here the Cabinet of Calgary. I think it's a Canadian Film Commission.
Give me that. The Cabinets of Dr. Caligari, you nut.
Yeah, what's the difference?
The difference? One of them is Calgary, Canada, which is a city.
Oh, my God. Oh, oh.
What's wrong with you?
I just, listening to how dumb these two, I think their stupidity is almost a colon virus, because I feel like I need to just...
See what you did to her?
I didn't do nothing. You can't make somebody have the runs because you're dumb.
You just did it to her. So it's the Cabinets of Dr. Caligari, huh?
Yeah, that's the Cabinet of Caligari.
Hold on, Robert. What? Say that again.
Cabinet, I don't know. You said it's the Cabinet of Calgon?
Yeah, is it that water softener? It ain't that.
No, it wouldn't be the Cabinets of Calgon. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make an appointment for your eyes to get checked.
I don't want to go to a doctor.
You're going to go to a doctor.
All they do is make you look at a chart.
I don't like, they scare me.
Well, bud, you need your eyes checked if you're looking at Cabinet of Calgon, Take Me Away, or whatever the hell it is. You understand? So, you're getting your eyes checked.
Does that mean me too?
When I said you guys, what do you think I'm talking about, myself?
Yeah, I thought it was me and you.
Why would I say you guys when I'm talking about you and me?
Just, you want to refer to yourself in a third person so you can push yourself around?
You're high on narcotics. If I find out, I want you guys pee tested, too.
Oh, come on, man. I didn't do anything.
You're going to make me get a pee test, too?
What, are you afraid of going in a cup? You're scared of the doctor?
Oh.
I'll grow up. Yeah, if you guys didn't act so weird, man, I wouldn't be wanting to pee test you. But I want you to go over to that lab off the freeway where all the truckers go. You know, the guys that get tested to see if they're taking handfuls of Benzedrine?
Yeah.
Go over there. Okay?
You know, you can pack that in.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Excuse me. Whoa. What was that?
Nothing. I
heard the words pack that in. Are you guys taking in somebody else's urine?
I didn't know. I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. I just heard it.
I couldn't help it over here. You know what they do? They microwave the urine. They warm it up. So it's almost as if it's theirs.
What are you guys doing?
I didn't do... He wanted to pack in Toby Bo.
Toby Bo's selling us his urine for a price.
How did you know I was going to make you guys get pee tested?
Just on a regular basis, we always make sure Toby Bo's got fresh urine.
Are you kidding?
Well, you had us pee tested last year.
Why don't you guys go in and get a pee test, man? Are you smoking weed? Are you guys on the air high right now?
No.
Then why don't you just get the pee test and forget about, contracting with Toby Bo for fresh urine?
Well, I don't know. It just seems cheaper.
Cheaper, huh? I want you pee tested, and I'll pay for it, and then I want your eyes tested, and then probably a CAT scan, wouldn't you say, Margaret?
Oh, that, absolutely, yeah. You mean an X-ray of their heads?
Yes.
That's what a CAT scan is?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I want your heads X-rayed.
What's that about?
Just to see if there's any kind of, first of all, is there a brain there? How much brain is there as opposed to tumor? You know, we'll be right back, folks, with news tonight. Interesting stories. All the way around. We'll start off with Cleveland and see how everybody is doing there after that horrific, horrific experience of those three girls being abducted and finally brought back home safe and sound to a degree. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that is I think we're about as right on and as correct about the world's events as anybody else. Let me put it to you that way, folks. I mean, I don't think we're too far afield of right. And when I say right, I don't mean right wing. I mean right as in correct. But anyway, thanks for joining us. And let me just say this about that, which is our website, philhendryshow.com. It is the backstage pass that you must have. As the Count said, it is that rare thing which we must have.
What movie is that?
Probably some gay film.
Shut up.
Sorry.
Boy, you aren't sucking up the way you should, man, for a guy that's going to have to get a pee test.
I don't care. Yeah, whatever.
Oh, good. I'm glad you got a good attitude about that, because anyway...
They're going to draw it out of you with a needle.
No, they're not. Are they, Mr. Hendry?
No, they're not. I'm kidding. So anyway, if you get a backstage pass at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com, the world is yours, baby. The world is your oyster, and the pearl is 5,000 hours of downloadable material. This is not just radio shows. You know, you've heard, this is the beauty of the Phil Hendry Show, our revolutionary show, our comedy show, which we've had, that we have been archiving since about 1997 or 8. We actually have some stuff from Minneapolis in there. We've got a 93-hour, and I believe that 93-hour is, it's goofy. Is it? Oh, it's our last show.
I heard some of that, and it was, I want to tell you, that was very poignant.
What's that mean?
It was poignant means sad, bittersweet. It's the feeling you get when you're moving to a really nice house, but you're leaving that old house behind, and you sort of feel like you're going to miss it.
Like it's a dumpy house.
Yeah, the house you're leaving is a dumpy house, and you're really moving to a really much better house. And yet, you look back at that dumpy house, and you remember all the great experiences, and that's what poignant is. It's a bittersweet feeling. So anyway, our last show on the air in...
Buck and Candy Bar?
Why don't you shut up and let him talk?
Hey! What are you talking about, Robert?
You said bittersweet, man. Is that like that Hershey's bittersweet?
You're talking about semi-sweet, you clown.
Okay. Oh. So the, where the hell was I, man?
You were talking about, I spit up a little bit. You were talking about.
Ew.
Hey, you guys, I'm going to kick everybody out of here, okay?
Well, I don't like it when he looks me up and down and goes, ew.
I didn't look you up and down. Okay, I did look in your boobs, but it was not on purpose.
Yeah, uh-huh. You're talking, Phil, about the bittersweetness of the website, the 1993 show.
Yes. The last show that we did in Minnesota was beautifully produced by Rob Pendleton, and he, you know, and I didn't know he was going to do this, but he created a montage of our clips, some of our best material from Minnesota, and it wasn't really whole bits, they were just drops, but if you listen to that hour that's available on our website, and he put it all to the song, This Used to Be My Playground by Madonna. Now, I know I ain't exactly, nobody thinks about Phil Hendry when they think about Madonna. In fact, no one thinks about Madonna when they think about Phil Hendry. So it's, you know, turnabout. But in any event, it was so beautifully done that that piece of tape has lasted through the years, and we have it on our website. So it's just one of those little rare gems. And
talk to Mr. Groening yet, or have you not?
Yeah, man, you gotta quit. You know, doing it to a dog from the backside. Or
you watch out with that, okay?
Well, they've got a very good point.
All right. What they're saying is that Matt Groening of The Simpsons, when I met Matt, he said he had lots of tapes of the show. He had them all on cassette tape, and he said, you can have them all. And I've never asked him for those. Not because I was afraid to, but I'd never got around to, you know, organizing that, you know, let's go get all these tapes and throw them in the car. And, you know, I just haven't done it. But, I, you know, time's a wasting. For all I know, you know, he's taking them and throwing them out.
Well, that's, I'm not saying it's likely, but if, you know, Phil, he's one of the reigning star producers in the history of television, Matt Groening.
Right, I agree.
He has put a television show on the air The Simpsons, which, yes, that's the French, okay?
Why you gotta do that? Everybody call it The Simpsons.
I'm calling it Simpsons. But that television show... Go ahead.
The Simpsons?
Yes, very good. That television program, Phil, for him to hold on to tapes of your chicken...
Yeah, sure. You were trying to be nice to me, and you couldn't resist saying that chicken crap.
Well, Phil, you know, I don't think he has them now. I can understand how he likes the show. And I can understand how Matt Groening is going...
Let's use the man's name properly.
I just did. Do you want me to get Frank on the phone?
No.
Matt Groening has the tapes of your show. He's had them for years. You have sat back as if Matt Groening... All right, I'll say it. Groening. As if Matt Groening is your own personal archivist, and he has nothing better to do than to sit in his garage, twiddle his thumbs, and protect tapes of your show. And I think it is the most outrageous and arrogant position on your part to let that happen. Now, if you call him up and you say, Mr. Groening, may I have the tapes of my show? And he says to you, gee, Phil, I'm really sorry, but we took those and we gleefully threw them into the trash compacting end of a dump truck.
I mean, he may have.
You better believe it.
He may have. But we'll take a shot and we'll find out if he still has them. I don't know. All right. Welcome to the show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We've got more stories of Gwyneth Paltrow and her going to quote-unquote galas. We're going to be talking with Margaret, and we'll probably have on Karen Deauville, who I know you love, Margaret.
Not her. In the name of God, not her.
Yes, Karen Deauville. Steve Bozell is going to be on with us to talk about Lisa Lampanelli, who is a comedian, female comedian, obviously, who's lost 106 pounds. And she did it by way of that surgery you can have. I don't know if it's gastric bypass or it's that lap band thing, but 106 pounds. You know, I lost 80 pounds, and people are making the news losing 106 pounds. Don't you think I ought to be...
No, not especially since you put 10 of it back on. But, no, I don't think it's a big deal at all.
Yeah, you lose 80 pounds, and then you had a Hershey bar.
So? It was Halloween.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know about discipline, you know. Yeah, if you lose 80 pounds, that's great. And then you turn around and shovel it down.
Yeah, that was the part that was disappointing.
Excuse me, hold on for just a second. It was the holiday season, and I'll be a son of a gun if I was going to miss out on the holiday season. I was going to have my turkey. I was going to have, you know, all the fun stuff. I'd worked my ass off for that, man. When I got down to 210 pounds, it happened to be Halloween, okay?
Yeah, happened to be.
That's the big... Yeah, are you expecting me and everybody here on account of believe that?
Take it easy, will you, bud?
Well, I don't know.
Take it easy, will you?
Yes, I am expecting you to believe that. I am expecting to believe that. It was Halloween, and I had hit 210 pounds. I was on my way back to D.C. to see Barry Louise. She had just had major surgery, and I was going to be sitting around a hotel room waiting on word to see, you know, how she was doing. And what am I supposed to do, just sit there twiddling my thumbs? There was candy, and I was going to eat it, and then I was coming back for Thanksgiving.
Well, you could have done, well.
Yeah, why didn't you just go ahead and, paddle? God!
Are you
nuts or something?
What's wrong?
He's sitting there, why didn't I go ahead and paddle?
Well, that's not, he didn't say masturbation.
All right. I'm not going to answer any more questions.
Phil.
I'm not answering any more questions. I wanted to get to this hippo story, speaking of fat. A harrowing tale of being swallowed by a hippo. Are you guys ready for that? I'm not going to launch into this until we get on the other side here. And we'll talk a little bit about this. We also have, as I mentioned, Stephen Bozell to be talking later on about Lisa Lampanelli losing all of that weight. And Frank Gray, I think, is probably going to come on to represent Margaret in this ridiculous conversation she's having with me about, show content and who is doing what.
Well, I think it's about time.
Well, you know, I don't. Also in the news tonight, ATM thieves conduct a massive cyber attack. Jeff Dowder and R.C. Collins join us to talk about the, what's the name of the gang? What was the name of that gang, Dan, that did this? Speedy Gang. It wasn't exactly a flash mob attack, but it was a coordinated cyber attack all over the world, $45 million from automated teller machines, and a first-of-its-kind heist made for the 21st century, according to authorities. Wait till you hear about this. A massive cyber attack from ATM machines coordinated worldwide. And this is the Worldwide Phil Henry Show, and we'll be right back.
Guys, talk about that. Yeah, but you all shoveled down.
I shoveled it down. I had 2 Mounds bars, and I had the other one.
Yeah, Snickers.
No.
Milky Way.
No.
Just shut up.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back to world-famous Phil Henry Show. The harrowing tale of being swallowed by a hippo. That is the name of this particular segment here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, about weight?
No, it's not about weight, okay?
No, I'm not having a big weight joke, man.
Just be quiet for a minute. I want to hear this.
Don't tell us to be quiet.
Yes, she is telling you to be quiet. The harrowing tale of being swallowed by a hippo. A man was once swallowed. What are you laughing at? You think it's funny?
Yeah, pretty funny about a guy. Was it his wife?
Where's my... Hey, bud, look at that. It looks like a flying saucer.
Oh, yeah? It's... Ow! Oh, man!
Oh, baby, you are dumb if you fall for that.
Okay, let's just calm down. Although she's right.
What?
Hey, bud, a flying saucer. A man was once swallowed by a rogue hippo and amazingly survived the ordeal. He's just now telling his extraordinary tale 17 years later. Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, you don't believe him?
Well, come on! In Africa, hippos are considered the most dangerous animal, not lions or tigers. Paul Templer knows this firsthand. We believe him. Sure we do. He said he was swallowed by a hippo. Why wouldn't I buy that? I don't know. Templer worked as a river guide on the Zambezi River in Zimbabwe. Oh, brother.
Well, why don't you believe him, Mr. Man? Sound like a reasonable thing.
Are you kidding me? I was a river guide on the Zambezi River, and then one day, a hippopotamus swallowed me.
It could happen, you know.
Phil, I agree. For one of the rare times, I agree with it. And what it's saying is...
Call me it.
What it's saying is very possible. Those animals are huge. And they've got the big fat mouths on them. And my God, if hippopotami, which is the plural, all right, aren't you going to say anything?
Margaret, why am I going to argue with you? You know, you're doing your French.
You talk about hippopotami.
Yes, hippopotami. If they were television hosts, they'd never shut up. There, I said it. Go ahead.
I'm sorry we didn't get more laughs on that one, but...
I wanted to get it out there because I think in the replay, on the on-demand, people will get a chuckle.
Okay. Hippos.
Well, don't you steal it. I'll do it. Hippopotami. If they were television hosts, they'd never shut up. I'm Margaret Gray.
Margaret, by the way, folks, you can't see it, those of you who don't have Phil TV. If you want me to continue, don't wave your hand like, you know, go ahead, coachman. You can just say, go ahead and continue.
Oh, what's the matter? You all offended by it?
Yeah, well, you all offended about it and everything?
All she did was wave the back of her hand.
Yeah, but she's waving it like...
Boy, look at you, the proletariat. Well, you know, you can take the boy off the farm, but you sure can't take the stink out of the boy.
The harrowing tale of being swallowed by a hippo. A man was once swallowed by a rogue hippo. Thank you. Coming up later in the show...
I've done it.
I know, I'm kidding. A man was once swallowed by a rogue hippo and amazingly survived the ordeal. He's now just telling his extraordinary tale 17 years later. Mm-hmm. How about that? In Africa, hippos are considered the most... Don't take it out of my hand.
I'm going to do it right. In Africa, hippos are considered the most dangerous animal, not lions or tigers. Paul Templer, he knows this firsthand. Templer worked as a river guide on the Zambezi River. Bud? Yes, this was in Zimbabwe, and he was making his way down the river when he was attacked by a large hippo. He was almost left for dead, although he did...
Give me that back.
Here I am trying to jazz it up.
Trying to jazz it up and you urinate all over it.
I'd rather do that. Templer was working as a river guide on the Zambezi River in Zimbabwe and was making his way down the river one day, probably with a big cargo of beans and bacon and who knows what else, cargo, when he was attacked by a large hippo. The hippo climbed up into the boat and began beating him up because, "Weren't you with my girlfriend last night?" said the hippo.
Just do it, will you?
All right, I'm sorry. The hippo came into the boat. He was working as a river guide. He was attacked by this hippo. He was almost left for dead, although he did lose his left arm. How did he escape? The hippo actually let him go. What's he doing now? He's a motivational speaker with swallowed by a hippo at the top of his resume. Templer recently spoke about the rogue hippo with the Guardian newspaper, and they have this entire interview with this guy. How it is that they can prove that this guy was swallowed by a hippo is anybody's guess. But I think what we will do is probably play a little bit of that later on for you guys. I just don't think that, you know, if the guy loses his arm, I understand that.
Well, I think there must be people that saw it that can substantiate it.
Yeah, there's probably somebody, the eyewitness.
Well, I mean, it could be. But the fact remains, you can certainly embellish. I mean, there have been stories, and we have a fascination. I grant you, we still have a fascination with the wild, man against nature. Never mind that the odds have been stacked in our favor for, you know, decades, if not hundreds of years, for God's sake. They just have been. But we have this fascination that we go out into the wild, and I'm reminded of that big game hunter in that Laurel and Hardy movie, you know, where he comes back and he gives the interview to the newspaper, and guys used to do that, you know?
Well, they gave the, like Frank Buck.
Frank Buck, exactly.
Who's he?
Frank Buck was a famous wildlife hunter.
Is that the guy on Mutual of Omaha?
Yeah, that's that Perkins guy.
No, if his name's Frank Buck, how could it be Perkins?
Well, I mean, for theatrical, maybe he changed it.
Probably, changed it for the stage.
Frank Buck changed it.
What are you laughing at? Good luck. Get him some smelling salts.
I don't need smelling salts. Are you kidding me or something? He changed his name to Marlon Perkins for TV? I mean, why?
Well, I don't know. Sound more studious, you know.
Yeah, Frank Buck sounds like he... I shouldn't say it.
Go ahead.
Well, it sounds like he performs in the porn industry.
Frank Buck? Oh, you are filthy. Although it is oddly alluring.
Well, I don't want to hear about that, okay?
I'm just saying, as a woman, if a man was on screen with his pants off and his name was Frank Buck...
What?
I'd take a shot.
Ew! I bet you Frank Buck will whip the... Ow!
Shut up.
Don't ever say ew when I evidence interest in a man, because that's sending the message to the audience that I'm some heathen cow. Don't say it.
I'm not saying anything.
I'm pointing at him.
I didn't say nothing.
Keep it that way. I'm not a... Well, never mind.
Margaret, you're a woman of... You're a beautiful lady. You're a nice woman. You know...
Well, don't... Just don't make it so convincing that people actually believe that.
Well, I'm just saying, you're a nice woman, and Bud, you should have more respect. The fact of the matter is, though, Frank Buck does sound more like a porn performer than
Hunter? You're talking about a hunter?
Yes, a hunter. But yeah, Frank Buck was a guy, and he made movies. So he'd go out into Africa, he'd, you know, blow away about 6 elephants.
Maybe he'd blow it.
He didn't say blow it. He said he'd blow them away.
Oh.
Why are you always on the lookout for dirt? So in any event, he'd kill like 6 or 7 elephants, maybe, you know, grease about 18 lions, kill about 900 tigers. Then he'd break for lunch, come back, he'd shoot up a bunch of giraffe. And this was his thing, and he'd show movies. Because back in the day, you'd come back into the United States, and there'd be a fair number of reporters there. Hey, Mr. Jones, so you bagged yourself a lion. I mean, they actually reported on this garbage. So Frank Buck was one of them. You guys are talking about Marlon Perkins. That was the guy on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
No, I thought that was Frank Buck.
You thought that was... You really did believe that Frank Buck changed his name to Marlon Perkins.
Yeah, but only for the TV show. When he went back out in the wild, it was Frank Buck.
No, it's Frank Buck, not Prank Buck.
I mean, it was Prank Fruck or...
Watch it.
I don't know.
Frank Buck. Let me ask you something. The guy leaves Africa... He's known...
You know what I'm saying? You laugh at everything that we try to be serious. That's the problem.
That's a good point, Phil. When they are trying to be serious, you're laughing.
I apologize. What?
I mean, when he is in Africa and the people know him as Frank Buck.
Yeah, and then he leaves Africa and he comes back to the United States.
Where everyone knows him as Marlon Perkins.
Yeah.
Okay. Do the natives back in Africa, do they know him?
You talk about the guys who carry the boxes on their heads?
Yes, yeah, so the you know what he means, right?
No, I don't.
The ones that carry the boxes on their heads.
Yeah.
You mean the native guys that are the sort of they carry? Yeah. What do you mean the guys with the boxes on their heads?
What do you call the guys that have the boxes?
They're native workers. They're people. The point is that he goes into Africa and he's Frank Buck.
So nobody in Africa knows him as Perkin.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is your scenario, man. You're saying that Frank Buck is Marlon Perkins. I'm telling you, you're nuts. There's no Frank Buck that becomes... Frank Buck doesn't leave Africa and suddenly turns into this dorky-looking college professor.
Well, that's the beauty of makeup.
Plus, you talk about Al Roker lost weight.
So Frank Buck came back to the United States, lost a bunch of weight, put on glasses to make sure that nobody recognized him?
No, no. He went over to Africa and he kills a lion, comes back, oh, I got to do the Frank Buck show, or I mean, I got to do the Perkins show. And that's when he goes, oh, yeah, okay, and he gets into a suit. He gets into his...
You probably get into a Perkins suit.
That makes sense.
Oh, it does it? He gets into his Perkins suit, huh? And he becomes Marlon Perkins. And you're telling me the reason why he does this is because he changed his name theatrically. He changed his name...
For the IMDb.
You guys are so jacked over, I can't even begin to describe it.
What's wrong with what we said?
What's wrong with it? First of all, it could only come from a dumbass. Why is Frank Buck changing his name to Marlon Perkins? Oh, excuse me, that's for theatrical purposes. Because his real name, Frank Buck, sounds too much like a porn star.
You know, this is sad. I think they were trying to do something really good and you're laughing.
Of course I'm laughing. So Frank Buck changes his name because it sounds too much like a porn star, loses weight, gets horn-rimmed glasses, puts on a baggy suit, and now he is Marlon Perkins, Mutual of Omaha, and nobody knows what I'm talking about because these are cultural references that are decades old. Thank you so much.
Well, it wasn't my fault. You were talking about it.
No, you did.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With the five top entertainment stories. One of them is Gwyneth Paltrow. We also have Steve Bozell will be talking with us next hour about Lisa Lampanelli losing all that weight. I think that's a great, great thing. And we have the ATM thieves conducting a massive cyber attack. We'll have Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on to talk about securing your ATM. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I think...
His name's Frank Buck in a porn movie.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Phil Hendry Show. Don Berman is going to join us for an interesting little hunting story. And this has to do with a polar bear. And polar bears are notoriously, well, they're dangerous. You know what a polar bear is, bud?
Yeah, it's a polar bear.
Isn't that, what I wanted to say was, do you know, maybe I should have asked the question better.
Well, yes, because we know a polar bear is a polar bear.
It evolved from something. What did it evolve from?
What do you mean?
What did a polar bear, what did it used to be?
Like a dog?
Not a dog, no.
A sea lion.
No. It was a grizzly bear.
Oh, it was a grizzly, so it was a bear.
Yeah, but you don't think it was a dog?
It might have been a dog at one time. I don't know what it was, but it was a grizzly bear. The polar bear is the result of northerly migration by certain grizzly bears. If you look at a grizzly bear and you look at a polar bear, the first thing you notice is that the polar bear's skull is more conical, if you will. The skull evolved on the polar bear to make it easier for him to stick his snout down in ice and grab fish or to get his nose, you know?
Oh, yes, I can see it here in the picture.
Yeah. So what do you mean conical?
It's cone-shaped, okay? If you look at a grizzly bear, he's got that snout on him, but he also has a much more straight up and down kind of forehead on him, and his head is a little more squared off that way. Grizzly bears... migrated north, and over the many thousands of years, became polar bears with that beautiful coat of white fur and...
You ever see that woman who got that dog and they're all loving on it?
Yeah, I have.
What?
This is a film of a polar bear. You've never seen it like this. It's the funniest thing. There's two dogs. They're both huskies. And they've gone over to this polar bear that's just in love with these two huskies. The polar bear is playing with them, hugging them, and laying on his back, and, you know.
Well, was it sexual?
What do you mean sexual?
Well, if the polar bear is laying on its back, hello?
What do you mean hello? What are you talking about?
Wait, there's a polar bear, right?
No, I know it's a polar bear, and I know they're husky dogs. But what you're describing is very classic, erotic, turned on. It sounds to me like the polar...
The what?
It sounds to me like the polar bear is looking to get his cookies.
I don't know.
Well, don't look at me like that.
Margaret, what else do you want me to do? This radio show just deteriorates into the most asinine stuff I've ever heard. The polar bear's looking to get his cookies.
But yeah, with a husky, now that I think about it.
Oh, well, of course, now that you think about it, but, and if you come to that conclusion, now I know we're in Oz. Now I know we got nowhere, you know.
Well, you don't mean like literally, do you?
No, I don't mean literally.
Yeah, if we're in Oz, a lot of good things happen. You should be careful on a thing you say.
If you're talking about Oz, Phil...
Will you forget about Oz? I'm talking about the fact that you would make a statement like that.
How do you know that that was not erotic behavior?
Why do you go there? That's my question. Why is that the first...
Did you tell me that the polar bear looked the... You said the polar bear looked the dog up and down and then flopped on his back.
No, I didn't.
Why are you laughing? See, I can't take it. I'm going to go and... I've got to urinate.
There's plenty of toilet paper in there, Ms. Gray.
Thank you very much, bud.
You don't automatically get sexual behavior just because a polar bear looks a husky up and down and then flops on its back. We've got far too many of these comments on this show about looking somebody or someone or something up and down, okay?
Well, it's not necessarily sex.
No, but it's very filthy.
What do you mean?
It's dirty, looking something up and down.
You had on that follow the progress of the stadium. You're looking at it.
You talking about where they're building that ballpark?
Yeah.
I'm looking at a ballpark being constructed, man. I'm not looking up and down on a woman. I'm looking up and down on the structure of a ballpark that's being...
Well, I just, you know...
In any event... So this polar bear and this husky dog was a very, very interesting behavior. And I think that, it was fascinating to me. Now, the reason why I was thinking about the polar bear is I had been talking to Don Berman. And I don't know, a few months ago, Don had been to the Dodger Club at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles, folks, which is like any ballpark in your city or elsewhere where they have a sort of an exclusive club. And joining us online here from the Channel 19 newsroom is Channel 19 news anchor Don Berman. Don, how are you?
Phil, I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Tell us about this polar bear.
Well, I'll tell you. I was with the late, great Walter O'Malley. This was in 1975. Walter O'Malley, the late, wonderful owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And it was O'Malley, of course, Phil, as you know, that brought the Dodgers to Los Angeles from the city of Brooklyn. And it was O'Malley who really shepherded the Los Angeles Dodgers through those early years. His son, Peter, then took over. But Walter O'Malley, I don't know how many people know this, was an avid hunter. As you can well imagine, men of that generation, especially men of that generation who have a great deal of money, as the O'Malleys did, and like to spend their money. But they were not, I wouldn't say that they were individuals that were people that were spendthrifts, and they weren't wasteful, but they were people that like to take these expensive vacations. Now, for Walter O'Malley, it was hunting up in Alaska.
And when he went hunting, we're talking about big game.
We are talking about very big game. You're talking about moose. You're talking about antelope. You're talking about bear, grizzly bear, polar bear. And, of course, this is the time in the history of our country, in the history of the sport of hunting, where you were able to bag a far larger limit, if you will, than you are today. So with that in mind, I was having lunch with Walter O'Malley, and I asked him to show me around, and he showed me the stuffed carcass of this polar bear. And I will tell you...
Now, where was this polar bear?
Well, it's right at the entrance to the Dodger Club. Now, I don't know if it's still there. Something tells me that the times we live in, the politically correct times that we live in, perhaps the O'Malley's moved it. I'd like to think they didn't. I'd like to think the O'Malley family had more guts and very proudly said, yes, that's a polar bear. Walter O'Malley killed it. How do you feel about that? I would, if I were the O'Malley's...
Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm just... This is very a personal story for me, Phil.
It seems that way. You're really... You feel like you're invested.
I'm very invested in this story. And can I come back in the following hour and really get into this with you?
Absolutely, Don.
All right, I'd like to do that.
Don Berman's going to join us in the first segment of the next hour to talk about hunting this giant polar bear that Walter O'Malley shot. And what the personal connection is with Don Berman. We're going to find out. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Head on over, Backstage Pass, Backstage Pass. Meet me at the Backstage Pass. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you ripped that off from the mountain.
Well, mountain or somebody.
I think it was Phil Mahogany Hendry. Rush.
Mahogany Rush.